Today on Inland Journal, we talk with a Spokane inventor about his product that goes on the market today. Chris Maynard is a Spokane area emergency medical technician. He also happens to be diabetic. Over the years, he's struggled with keeping his blood sugar levels steady, especially when he goes out to run. So he developed a necklace filled with glucose that allows him to ingest the gel when he feels the need. What began as a product developed for his personal need is now a product he's manufacturing for sale to other diabetics. He calls it the Glucose Gel Medical Alert Necklace. His company is called Glucose Revival. Chris Maynard has worked with Michael Ebinger from WSU's Center for Innovation and others locally to get his necklace from the drawing board to the marketplace. Chris is with us in the studio to talk about that process.
Tell me kind of that personal story that made this really real to you and sort of set you off on this journey.
The activity that I do personally, I like to stay active. So there's been times to where I go running and don't like to carry anything with me. So there's been those episodes to where being a type 1 diabetic and for how tight I control my blood sugar levels, it's caused me to drop to where I need to call my wife and get some help to where she brings me something. I've been camping and where my kids had to call 911 to be able to get help as I started convulsing in the middle of the night.
And so as you went through those situations, you probably thought, I really need to do something about this, or I need some sort of product to help. So how did the thought process go to developing that you've got around your neck?
Yeah. Along with that, being a firefighter EMT and responding to the most common emergency that diabetics face, the constant response from them and their family members is the most common products for low blood sugar right now. Out of pocket, which is glucagon by injection and by prescription, cost around $250. And they've always said to me that they don't have it 100% of the time. They don't carry it because how expensive it is, and it's something that expires. And so tying that together between professionally and personally, I wanted to find something that could benefit them to prevent emergencies. And to be able to apply the same thing that we're going to bring as an EMT to help them and to also help myself personally.
So how did you start that process then of developing that?
Well, the very first prototype that I made was made out of straws. I put glucose gel in it, filled it up, and I went running with it. And by my amazement, when I returned, it was still there. And so I had the luxury of being able to carry that, and it gave me a peace of mind going running to where I wasn't going to have to get a hold of my wife. And it stayed there. So from there, I just made a different variation. And then I just started wearing it on a regular basis. And it was when I went to my endocrinologist next doctor's appointment to where they said, you know, this really could benefit other diabetics. And at that point, I never started thinking about a business, but I thought just naturally, I guess, personally and professionally, if I could help someone, that's where I wanted to go with it. Being able to find the FDA measurements that I needed to be able to get the right tubing instead of a straw, to be able to get the right gel in it, that I'm not having to pay retail price, to be able to find companies that would help manufacture it, to learn the business side. The business side was something that I really shied away from because I really thought a good product would sell itself. So even just learning the business side was something that I didn't want to take, but I've learned that I absolutely loved.
Oh, really? You've actually enjoyed the process of creating this thing and morphing it into?
I enjoyed learning things. And so when people such as Dr. Michael Ebinger would give me his time to be able to help with the business end stuff. It amazed me that he would give me his time, and I didn't realize how much stuff there was to learn on the business side. In fact, the stuff that he was trying to teach me, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I don't understand the relevance of this. And then 6 months later, then it dawns on me, this is why he kept pushing X, Y, and Z on me.
Were there a couple of aha moments that really made sense to you that you've just referred to?
When I started initially going to investors, that's really when it dawned on me. And having a long-term plan, being able to figure out who my customers are beyond just type 1 diabetics or type 2 diabetics, formulating the plan of really how am I going to get to them? How am I going to reach to them? How am I going to connect with them? Building a story for it.
How long did it take you to put together your business plan?
Well, initially this started about 3 years ago. And so we're now just getting to the stage to where next Monday we're going to open this up and make it available to everyone. So it's been a long process of learning every aspect of it.
And so how have you tested it?
Well, for a long time, it was used just by me and my ideas to what worked for me. And then I took it to the stage to where when I actually had the product, then I took volunteers that across really the world to where they started emailing me and wanted to test it. And so I started mailing out. First round of testing, I had about 600 people test the necklace. And then from that, we're able to learn what kind of improvements we needed to make. And then, so we took those recommendations, added those, and then went to a second round of testing, which brings us to today.
I understand you had some challenges in figuring out who was going to make this for you. Tell me some of that story.
Literally, I probably went through at least 100 different companies across the U.S. that could help me manufacture it, to help make a gel, to put this together. And I had no idea how hard it would be to find a company that would want to help. Because, again, I figured the idea of a necklace would sell itself. I learned that in the business side, there's a lot more to it. So after those 100 companies or so-ish, Michael Ebinger was in contact with the University of Idaho, who could help formulate my gel, that we could find a process to go down there and fill the process. And amongst that, it wasn't much later to where we found a company in northern Idaho who now can take the whole thing and produce the whole thing for us.
So you don't have to have somebody in New York or Georgia or something like that do all this for you.
Correct. And in fact, the University of Idaho is actually down in Caldwell. So each time we were going down to fill it, we're making a trip down to Boise. And so, our initial thought, we initially had a company manufacturing it out of Florida and flying there back and forth, the time, the money, it made it easier. Now going to Boise, it was a lot closer. And now that we're going out of Hayden, Idaho, it just hits home to where each step has gotten easier. And now we can go there anytime we want.
So what were some of the, as you went through those 100 or so companies, what were some of the obstacles you were running into that they weren't able to make this for you?
Really, it's just we were too small of a company. Someone wanted to be able to make 50,000 of them, and we weren't ready for that. So that's really the biggest obstacle we faced. And some stuff we didn't know is, were we an FDA product? Were we an FDA food? So there are some learning curves in there to add on top of that to where they didn't want to cross that line as well. They didn't want to go through the learning curve as well.
So is it an FDA product? Did you have to go through a government regulatory process to get this ready for market?
Well, what we've learned is through our FDA lawyer is even though our product has been used and tested by EMTs across the U.S. for the last 20 to 30 years, that means nothing to them. It's never been tested by the FDA. And so our product is considered a food product, and which eases regulations that just limits on what our marketing verbiage and what we can say and what we can write down.
In other words, the things you can promise as to what this product will do.
Correct. It's not a medical product. We can't sell it in that way just because that's what EMTs use.
We're talking with Chris Maynard about his invention, the Glucose Gel Medical Alert Necklace.
Monday, you're going to make it available. Are you going to do a special event or anything like that to kind of mark the occasion?
Because it's everything about this has been a learning curve, we're trying to take it slowly. First, we open it up to everyone who signed up for our emails, and we've sold a good number just through them. And so in that short time, we've been able to learn some lessons, and now when we now make it available to everyone else coming next Monday the 10th, we're not going to make a big event. We're just going to start advertising it online and make it available and to see if there's anything else to learn before we really start hitting it home.
So is this available just via your website, or are you going to do retail locations as well?
No, we decided we didn't want to go retail from the beginning because we want to keep the cost down. We've learned that retail ups the cost of the product by about 50%. And so we've decided to keep it just on our website and on Amazon.
And it was the $18.95 was the retail price?
Correct.
The price that people would pay. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess you're kind of the CEO or co-CEO with your wife. What's the job now? You're getting it, you're going to start selling it, but how does your job change then?
And we do have a couple partners as well that has also helped on the business side and the sales side, because the tough part about me is I'm not really a salesman. I'd like to talk one-on-one with people, but the big picture of things, I don't want to force or feel like I'm forcing something onto someone else. So they are a lot better salespeople. So yes, I've become a CEO of a company, and I just recently have taken some time off from my firefighting job so that I can put full time on this, because diabetes is one of the fastest growing diseases that we have. And I think not just because I'm using it or not because I'm selling it, I really think it's a product that can help prevent the emergencies. I mean, over 300,000 people go to the ER every year because of a low blood sugar. And we just want to help reduce that. So it's just a way of being able to offer a product in a more cost-effective fashion and get it out to those who need it in their hands.
So you talked about needing to make 50,000 of these to get one of these companies to make it for. How many are you making right now? I mean, how many have you got sitting in your warehouse or your house or wherever right now?
Yeah, they're continuously being made right now as we keep up with the demand just through the emails. But we have about 10,000 on stock that we're ready to go.
And who's shipping them out for you? You hired a company or is that you?
No, we're taking care of it ourselves right now because, again, we want to keep it as simple as we can and learn some things on our sides first. But, I mean, eventually the people that are manufacturing for it are willing to take on that tasking. And we'll allow them as the demand arises.
So in working with Mike Ebinger, I'm sure he's talked about, okay, so you've cleared this hurdle, you've cleared this hurdle. Are you thinking 2 and 5 years down the road to say, hey, if this thing really starts selling, what are we going to do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we definitely have some target time frames that we're looking for. I mean, eventually our big picture is we want to open this business in Spokane. We want to be able to do everything here to A, help control costs, and B, control the inventory of it so that we know that people's getting the best product that's available out there.
So as you look back on all this, kind of the 20,000-foot level, you were a firefighter, now you're a firefighter and a business owner and, you know, head of a company. How have you changed through all this? How have you evolved, you and your wife, going through all of this as something that you never anticipated you would do?
You know, it's funny. I get the chills when you say that just because really what comes to my mind is I don't think I've changed in any way. I've just become more appreciative of all the people that's been a part of this because, I mean, to think that I've probably got 6-7 different people with a PhD background that has put their time and effort into this that hasn't cost me anything to be able to get their help. Probably the biggest learning curve that I've had was last year when we went to a Friends for Life diabetic conference out of Florida. I really went there with the attitude of, and I hate to say this because it sounds so heartless, but I went there with a conference of thinking I didn't want to go because I didn't want to go with the attitude of where people feel sorry for themselves. And I thought by going there and hearing that, that I'm going to be turned away from it. And what I found out is was the complete opposite. The people that were there were amazing to where I never heard any poor me attitudes. It was, we want to live this life. We want to live an active life. And they're excited to who they are. During my time when I lost my job for 2 years because of a low blood sugar, there was a period of time when I thought more or less poor me. And so I thought by going there, that's what I was going to hear. And it was fun to hear the excitement and enthusiasm and the life that they want to live. So it was life-changing for me to learn that diabetics are a lot stronger than what I ever envisioned.
So have you thought about other products down the line, or is this your contribution to medical science right now, and we're just gonna focus on this, and after that, you know, we'll see what happens?
We definitely have wanted to master this to make sure that our product is going to be the product that really changes things to help people prevent them from having to go to the ER. But we definitely have different things in mind, and I look forward to seeing where it is going to take us because there's still a lot of things that I don't know. But again, I've learned to love the business side, so I look to see where it goes. I mean, soon we will have bracelets as well. And we've already got some other things that you'll find online shortly. So we are definitely looking at different things.
That's Chris Maynard, a Spokane area emergency medical technician and creator of the company Glucose Revival. Today, the company's Glucose Gel Medical Alert Necklace becomes available to the public through the company's website. On tomorrow's podcast, we'll talk with Michael Ebinger from WSU's Center for Innovation, which helped Maynard develop his necklace. We'll talk about the state of Spokane's innovation economy. You can find the Inland Journal podcast by searching for Inland Journal in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Or you can find it on the Inland Journal page of the Spokane Public Radio website. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thank you for listening. I'm Doug Nadvornik.